be with you.
And also with you.
It's good to see you this morning, and can I welcome in particular any visitors who may be with us here. Visitors always enrich our worship when they're present here, and I hope if you are here and not familiar with this church or with indeed this form of worship, that you'll find it helpful this morning. The rector and family are away at the moment, and they'll be very much in our thoughts, as will so many other parishioners at this time who are taking a break from the normal routine of life. So, let's worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Details on the service sheet. We say together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please stand. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The appointed prayer or collect for this Sunday and week. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal, that we finally lose not the things eternal. Grant this, Heavenly Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our Lord. Amen. Please sit.
We have heard Paul trying to explain how Christians can say they are free from sin for the service of God, yet still find themselves in a constant battle against sin. Here he admits this even to himself. How far from perfection he is, doing what he should not, and not doing what he should. The epistle is from Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 15. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer that I do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer that I do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self. But I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I am a slave to the law of God, but with my flesh, I am a slave to the law of sin. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Some people were convinced by John the Baptist's stern message. Some were convinced by Jesus' more compassionate style and followed him. But many criticized both of them. Who can recognize Jesus as the world's savior? Often a simple, childlike heart sees truth which the clever and learned are blind to. Hear the gospel of our Savior Christ according to Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 16.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. In the book of Psalms, we read these words. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. The early weeks of July are synonymous with school holidays, and for families who can manage to do so, with time away from home. For about 7 years, when our children were of primary school age or younger, we hitched the caravan to the car and drove by the quickest possible route to the lovely fishing village of Roundstone in Connemara in County Galway. That was home for 2 weeks, where we met families and their children, some of whom have become lasting friends. Each year on the second Sunday in July, we attended the parish church in Roundstone, which in those days meant standing room only. 90% of the attendees were not from the area. Every year on that Sunday, we were greeted by the clergyman in charge, a retired academic and fisherman, with the words, "Good morning, this is Sea Sunday." The contents of his sermon, like his greeting, didn't change much from year to year. This is Sea Sunday, not a significant day in the church calendar, but one on which the ministry to seafarers is highlighted in many parishes and countries. Appropriately, St. Columba's, which reminds us of the journey of our patron saint across the sea from Ireland to the island of Iona, is one of those parishes which supports the work of the mission to seafarers, not with monetary donations alone, but through the involvement of parishioners, notably Jeff and Eleanor Launchbury, who give an enormous amount of their time and talents to the mission here in Belfast, week in and week out. Jeff and Eleanor, it's work that goes on is perhaps not noticed by many people, but thousands of people have cause to thank you for the work you do in Belfast and for your commitment to that cause over, I think, Jeff, you were saying yesterday, for over 30 years. This morning, seated with Jeff and Eleanor, is, if I may call you, a visitor, not a regular parishioner here, and I hope I've got your name right, Kazuma. You can shake your head if I haven't pronounced it properly, but Kazuma, we want to welcome you for two reasons this morning. First of all, because you're here with us, and we love to welcome visitors, but secondly, because you come from Japan, and by happy coincidence this morning, Karen was pointing out we'll be praying for the church in Japan later on in the service. But another reason, I'm told that your dad in particular has long-standing associations with the Mission to Seafarers in Japan. And if I've got it right, he's just been appointed Bishop of Kobe in Japan. I think this morning, I know we don't do this all the time, but because of the happy coincidence, Mission to Seafarers, Kazuma coming from Japan, where his dad is very close association with the mission there, I think we should give him a welcome that is perhaps over and above what we normally give people. Nice that you're here, and I'm sure if people haven't said hello to you, they will do so at the end of the service. I'm very pleased to have the opportunity this morning to focus on the mission for the reason already stated, because of the close association this parish has through Jeff and Eleanor with the mission, but for another more personal reason also, because my son Peter, who spent holidays with us in those long past days now in Roundstone and heard the clergyman announce that this is Sea Sunday, Peter was appointed senior chaplain of the Mission to Seafarers in Vancouver in Canada less than 12 months ago. 2 weeks ago, Jenny and I returned from an extensive visit to many parts of Canada, including 3 great weeks with Peter, his wife Liz, and our grandchildren Aidan and Isaac. Vancouver is one of the largest ports on the Pacific coast of North America. That very large city, beautifully located in the foothills of the Rockies, where the Fraser River enters the ocean, has been a significant seafarers' chaplain's base for many years. A number of clergy from this part of Ireland have served as chaplains there in the past 40 years, and I was delighted personally to have a short time over a cup of coffee with one of those. In fact, some of you may know him, the Reverend Andrew Pike, who was ordained a few years before I was in Bangor. The Pike family have bishops all over the place, and his dad was one of them many years ago now, of course, and he is living now in retirement in Vancouver. Peter and his fellow chaplains visit hundreds of ships from their 2-port chaplaincy centres, one catering for global traffic, including huge freight ships, and the other catering for ships large and small, that travel thousands of miles from Alaska in the north to Mexico in the south. Peter's interest in this work resulted from a placement in his student days in the port of Dublin, and later as a result of periods as a voluntary chaplain in the ports of Thunder Bay and Sault Ste. Marie, cities and ports in which he served on the Great Lakes of Canada. During our time with our family, the chaplaincy was visited by the primate of the Anglican Church in Canada, while many of the divisional worldwide chaplains will meet in Vancouver in September. If your dad hadn't been appointed Bishop Kazuma, he would have been there, I'm sure, and maybe he's still going to Vancouver in September. You can tell me if you know later on. Now, while I don't intend this sermon to focus entirely on Peter's ministry in Vancouver, I will tell you briefly about one occasion when I accompanied him, very discreetly I will add, to the blessing of the fleet ceremony in downtown Vancouver port. For about 45 minutes in advance, fishing and small freight vessels tied up in a designated area. When all was ready, using a very loud hailer, Peter spoke for about 5 minutes about the role of the mission and the significance of the ceremony. Then he read a scripture passage and a number of prayers before formally blessing the assembled ships and their crews. At its conclusion, at a signal, all the ships sounded their hooters and their horns. That was the signal for a disco group to strike up at 12 o'clock midday. Minutes later, vendors of food and drink, alcoholic and non-alcoholic, were selling their products in the presence of hundreds of people. I was informed that most of those present had little formal contact with Christianity or any other world religion, and it was a very diverse gathering. However, the role of the mission to seafarers is recognized and respected, and gives Peter and his fellow chaplains and volunteers an open door to thousands of men and some women who do business on the great waters of the world. It's all very different from parish ministry, with which many of us here in the likes of St. Columba's are accustomed. But it is important that the presence of a Christian message of compassion is evident in the marketplace, wherever that may be. In our sort of situation, people come to us. In that sort of situation, the church goes to where the people live and move and have their being. Canada is a very open society and a great melting pot of colours, creeds and races. In some respects, the people I met have a much more mature and sane concept of what we mean by culture, much more sane than we often possess in Northern Ireland. Quite frankly, sometimes when I listen to people talking about their culture here, they haven't the foggiest idea what it's all about. Almost 2 million seafarers work on cargo ships, on oil tankers and on ferries. It's a huge worldwide business. Indeed, I'd be surprised if anyone here this morning claims to know not one person who has earned his or her living on ships that ply the seas and the oceans of our world. Some of those ships are enormous. And you, Jeff, were telling me yesterday that about 90% of the goods that are available to us on a daily basis, if I got this one right, are transported by sea. So we are deeply indebted to those who ply the seas and the oceans of the world. We could not do without them. And despite that, many ships are lying idle, where their crews can be stranded on board, far away from home, with very little pay. I live near the sea in Bangor, and in addition to the daily passage of ships to and from Belfast, at least 5 or 6 ships can be anchored in the lock, awaiting new business, or sometimes awaiting a reversal in the financial fortunes of shipping companies. The global downturn in the early years of the 21st century has caused a huge depression in shipping, leaving many crews destitute and pretty well friendless. You will have heard the saying, "Join the Navy to see the world." Perhaps it is one way of seeing the world at a glance, but for those who cross and recross the oceans in all kinds of weather and conditions, it can be a very lonely life, separated as many are from their families and their loved ones for weeks, indeed for months on end. The days have long gone when Harland and Wolff was the major employer in Belfast, leading in its early days to the rapid expansion of the city and the suburbs of areas extending from Ballymacarrot to Knock and beyond. In a sense, The city, known for its shipbuilding skills, has reinvented itself through the emergence of places like the Titanic Center, whose name serves to remind us from generation to generation of the awesome nature and power of the sea. This year marks the 161st anniversary, I hope I got that one right, of the founding of the Mission to Seafarers. Until recently, it was known as the Mission to Seamen, but its more inclusive title today highlights that women, albeit in much smaller numbers, spend their working lives on ships. The mission began its work in Bristol, then one of the world's great trading ports. A local clergyman, the Reverend John Ashley, began visiting ships at anchor and was struck by the isolation and the needs of men in the Bristol Channel. Many of those on board lived in abject poverty and misery. With the assistance of a few friends and benefactors, the Bristol clergyman purchased a ship, fitted it with a chapel below decks, and in the next 14 years, apparently he visited 14,000 ships. In time, it inspired the Anglican Church in particular to coordinate and develop that work. Over the years, the mission has cared for the welfare of seafarers, regardless of rank, gender, nationality, or faith. It adopted the image of an angel, and today, the Flying Angel logo is recognized throughout the world. In fact, Peter was telling me, and I was saying this when we were talking yesterday, that when he goes on to ships, which he does on a very regular basis, he doesn't wear the clerical collar. He has it in his pocket. He always has on him the Flying Angel logo, because it's known immediately to those who serve on ships. The Mission to Seafarers, at its base, provides facilities for men and women. I gather things like reading and games rooms, sometimes even cheap accommodation, and of course there will always be a chapel. I could detain you, and this is a longer address than normal, I accept that. I could detain you with stories of ways in which people known to me have been assisted by the Mission to Seafarers in times of loneliness and crisis. But I will tell you briefly of one man who, when he retired from the Merchant Navy after many years, became a church warden in the parish in which I served. When he was chief engineer on a huge tanker, he received the very harrowing news in the South Atlantic that his wife had died suddenly. For 1 week, because of his responsibilities, he had to remain on board his ship until a replacement could be flown to a port where his ship berthed. Apparently, he was one of very few English speakers on that enormous ship, so you can imagine his sense of isolation and grief and loneliness at that time. He valued, when he did get to land, the care and the assistance provided by the local Mission to Seafarers chaplain and volunteers who play such a crucial part. Indeed, the impression made on him at a time of personal tragedy was so great that he rediscovered his Christian faith. He saw in such compassionate people the caring presence of Christ. Today, the Mission to Seafarers is present in 260 ports in 71 countries, including Belfast, where the current chaplain is the Reverend Colin Hall Thompson. There is evidence that the first human beings on earth travelled by boat and ship. One of the best known of the stories in the early chapters of Genesis is that of Noah's Ark. In the concluding chapters of Revelation in the New Testament, there is reference to all shipmasters and seafaring men. Great explorers, ranging from Brendan the Navigator to Christopher Columbus to Vasco da Gama to Captain Cook, traveled across oceans in search of new lands. Our national Saint Patrick and our patronal Saint Columba traveled to and from this country by ship or boat. St. Paul traveled across the Mediterranean on a number of occasions, proclaiming the gospel of Christ, and experienced shipwreck off the coast of Malta. While those journeys were much more dangerous than those of today, we recognize the potential risk to seafarers whenever we sing the hymn as we did this morning, and thank you, Dr. Joe, for including it in this service. Eternal Father, strong to save for those in peril on the sea. There's little evidence to suggest that Jesus travelled on the high seas, but we do know that he lived near the Sea of Galilee, where he experienced with some of his followers the potential danger, for example, when weather conditions changed. A number of apostles were fishermen, whose daily existence was on the lake or the sea. All the people to whom I've referred travelled on journeys, and virtually all of them on journeys across lakes or seas. Our patronal saint, Columba, had to negotiate stormy seas, literally and metaphorically. From fairly modest beginnings on the island of Iona, his message of devotion to Christ spread across the seas to many countries. The call to Christian discipleship should include a desire to quote one of the Psalms, that God may have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. That is one of the things that inspired the founders of caring groups like the Mission to Seafarers, whose role continues to be, as we are reminded on this Sea Sunday, to bring the Christian gospel of care and compassion in word and deed to those who go down to the sea in ships doing business on the great waters. My address is long this morning. I would simply ask you to pray on this day for the work of the Mission to Seafarers, to pray for all who are involved with them, in Belfast in particular, for Jeff and Eleanor, who will be able to give you much more information about what goes on than I could. And hopefully to support that mission in whatever ways we can in the days to come. And now to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, be ascribed as his most justly due all might, majesty, dominion, power and glory, henceforth and forevermore. Amen. We profess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray. In Turning to page 239 or page 152 in the large print edition of the prayer book, we share together in the intercessions. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church.
We all may be one.
Lord, you have called us to be one and to live in unity and harmony, and yet we remain divided. Break down the walls that we use to separate ourselves, and in overcoming our prejudices and fears, grant that we may open ourselves to others. Send your blessing on all communities in our country this coming week, that we may all treat each other with respect and understanding. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant that every member of your church may truly and humbly serve you. Heavenly Father, we praise you for all those who work in your name. You protect all who put their trust in you. And we thank you for all who serve you here in our parish. We remember that you have called each one of us to a unique role in your kingdom. Let your love shine in our eyes, your spirit inspire our words, and your wisdom control our actions, so that your work may be done. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons. We pray for all with responsibility for leadership in our church, and especially for Bishop Harold. We think of the Anglican Church in Okinawa, Japan, and here in St. Columbus we pray for Ken and Walter, and especially today for John, as he enjoys some rest and relaxation away from parish concerns. Give to all who minister within your church strength and courage to follow your will for their lives, and to share your good news with all with whom they come in contact. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world,
that there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Pray for all those who have positions of leadership across our world. May you, Lord, alone be their ruler and guide. Give to each of them vision to see the effects of their actions, courage to uphold what they believe to be right, and integrity in their motives, words, and actions. May their service to their people promote the welfare and peace of all humanity. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake,
that your glory may be proclaimed through our lives.
Set our hearts on fire with love for you, that we seek only to do your will and obey your commandments. Grant that your love may so fill our lives that we count nothing too small to do for you, nothing too much to give, and nothing too hard to bear. We pray that through loving you we become daily more like you, so that our lives may reflect you in all we say and do. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble,
they may be delivered from their distress.
You have promised that you will give your rest to all those who are weary and heavy laden. And so we pray for all those in special need of your loving care. In their darkness be their light, in their sadness joy, in their troubles be their peace, and in their weakness their strength. We think, Lord, of the slenderness of the thread which separates life from death. Help us to remember that on both sides of that division we are surrounded by your love. Today we pray especially for the family of Evelyn King, whose funeral took place yesterday. We praise you, Lord, for all your saints who have entered their eternal joy.
Your kingdom.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Today we remember especially those known to us who are preparing for or enjoying holidays and travel. Be with them as they journey, keep them safe, and may they return relaxed and refreshed. And on this Sea Sunday, we pray for all those who work and spend leisure time at sea, and for those who care for them when necessary, including the Royal National Lifeboat Institution and the mission to seafarers. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious God, grant that the desires of your people's hearts may find favour in your sight, through the intercession of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Please stand. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and we share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Please exchange peace with your neighbours. Majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven,
We proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image, male and female you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted, and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue, a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. And therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension, and we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We being many are one body, we all share one bread.
Can I say at this point there will be one distribution point here this morning? If anybody has difficulty coming up to here, I don't want you to worry about that, because should you find it easier for us to go down to you after people have received communion here, we'll happily do so. And we'll try and make our way as quickly in a dignified fashion through communion as we can.
you eternally. What if Christ keep you in eternal life? What if Christ keep you in eternal life? What if Christ keep you in eternal life? What if Christ keep you in eternal life?
What if Christ keep you in eternal life?
Let us pray. Eternal God, comfort of the afflicted and healer of the broken, you have fed us at the table of life and hope. Teach us the ways of gentleness and peace, that all the world may acknowledge the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out to the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with you now and forever.